And now we present the third episode in our historical series, The Vatican Centuries, looking at the lives and legends of the people and places that went into the making of the Vatican throughout the ages. The programme is written by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett. Today's episode is entitled The Memorial.
In the years following the Great Fire of Rome, the city was rebuilt on a grand scale.
Emperor after emperor added new splendor, enlarging and embellishing the city with temples and palaces until Rome was completely transformed.
During this time, the empire was extended to its largest limits. Rome was at the peak of her glory, unchallenged mistress of the civilized world.
We do not know exactly when it was that St. Peter came to Rome. The Acts of the Apostles tell us that after the ascension of our Lord and the descent of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, he preached and won thousands of converts. He was persecuted and imprisoned, delivered from prison by an angel. He visited and preached in neighboring parts of Palestine. Then he founded the church in Antioch, and it was there that the followers of Christ were first called Christians.
From Antioch, Peter proceeded to Rome, and, according to legend, presided over the young church there for some 25 years. During the first great persecution of the Christians under Nero, Peter was martyred together with innumerable fellow Christians.
When St. Paul came to Rome as a prisoner about the year 61 AD, he found Christianity already efficient and widespread. The author of Acts narrates,
"And so we came to Rome, and the brethren there, when they heard of us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and three taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage."
On the Vatican Hill, or on the road to Ostia, you will find the trophies of those who founded this church.
This brief reference to the burial places of the apostles Peter and Paul is taken from a description of the tombs by the priest Gaius and is recorded in Eusebius's Ecclesiastical History.
The trophy of Peter was later to be transformed into a shining place of worship. Paul's memorial on the other side of the city is no less impressive, though somewhat austere in comparison. But the centre of both constructions is a single, exact and unmovable point, the grave of the martyr.
As Paul was a Roman citizen, he could not be executed in public, but outside the city.
His traditional place of martyrdom is about 2 miles from the Ostian Gate, at a place known today as Tre Fontane, Three Fountains. Early Christian writers such as St. Jerome and St. John Chrysostom say that because of his dignity as a Roman citizen, St. Paul was not crucified like St. Peter, but beheaded.
Legend has it that his head bounced 3 times, and at each spot where it touched the ground, a spring appeared, so the place became known as Three Fountains. In time, the springs turned into swamps, and the area became notorious for malaria. Now the springs have dried up completely, and in their place stand 3 churches, which are always open. Tre Fontane today is the home of Trappist monks, to whom the land and a ruined monastery was given in 1868.
And the tomb of St. Paul? It's not so far away. After his death, a Roman lady named Lucina claimed the body and laid it in her family tomb near a vineyard on the road to Ostia. In the 1st century, a memoria, or mortuary chapel, was built over it, probably by Pope Anacletus, who had performed the same service for the remains of St. Peter. And for 2.5 centuries, this simple chapel was all that existed to show where the Apostle of the Gentiles was buried.
Paul was decapitated, Peter was crucified. Both of them died during the first great persecution under Nero. Peter had chosen to be crucified head downwards, for he felt unworthy to die in the same position as his master. Afterwards, his friends came and took the body. They embalmed it carefully, wrapped it in fine linen, and placed it in a marble urn, which they'd strewn with leaves of laurel and ivy, as a symbol of their faith in the future life. They carried the remains to a tomb on the nearby Via Cornelia. They turned the foot of the sarcophagus towards the east, marking the burial spot with an inscription.
Peter was succeeded by Linus as head of the young church, and then by Anacletus, whom Peter himself had ordained. It was Anacletus who built a memorial chamber or oratory over the apostle's tomb. This memorial was respected even by the pagans, and the tomb oratory of the Christian leader was left undisturbed for the next 2 centuries. To the first Christians, this place was the most sacred in Rome, and even in the world, outside Palestine. There they came in secret to pray for the apostles' help in time of persecution, that they might be faithful in the hour of trial. This undistinguished spot on the Vatican Hill had become the very heart of the church.
Our interest in the Vatican now becomes centered on this particular spot. Peter was martyred, we're told, at that point between the 2 goals of Nero's Circus, where stood the obelisk which Caligula had brought from Egypt. In later times, it was removed where it stands today, in the middle of St. Peter's Square. But the original site was in the center of the spina, or middle line, of the circus. That spot is marked by a stone let into the pavement outside the sacristy of today's basilica. Peter lies to the northeast of his place of martyrdom, and it is there that the Christian must inevitably end his pilgrimage.
The orator Tertullian of Carthage, born halfway through the 2nd century AD, became a Christian about the age of 40. He certainly had occasion to observe the staunch behaviour of the Christians under persecution in Rome. He wrote triumphantly to the Romans about the Christians.
"We only belong to yesterday, and yet already we fill your kingdom, towns, castles, villages, societies, academies, the army, buildings, senate and forum. The temples alone we leave to you. To fight you, it would be sufficient merely for us to be separated from you. If, in the number that we are now, we were to withdraw to some remote part of the world, the loss of so many citizens would send your empire hurtling to its ruin. You would be terrified at the desolation, at the cessation of business, at the silence of death over the whole country.
Been listening there to episode 3 of The Vatican Centuries, written by Jill Bevilacqua. You can hear the next episode of this 45-part series at the same time next week.